Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I am here with the lovely Krista Skipper.
Hello.
Thanks for coming to hang out with us. Y'all, Krista Skipper is the wonderful wife of our lead pastor, Pastor Levi. And if you haven't got to meet Krista or talk with her, you and I did like a conversation of like getting to know Krista on a previous Table Talk. You can go back and find that and get to hear Krista's story and just some about her and Levi and the kids and all that kind of stuff. So thank you for doing that, because that's super beneficial. And then just so everybody knows, if they haven't seen you around, it's because you and the kids are still
in Georgia.
And kind of going back and forth, and Levi's going back and forth.
Right, we're waiting for Maddie to graduate from high school.
Yeah.
We're going to let her do that in May. And in the meantime, somebody's on a plane.
Right.
All the time. So we come here, or he comes home for a few days.
Yeah.
You know, because we obviously want to stay connected.
And, absolutely.
But so this is my second Sunday in a row here, and it's been awesome.
Yeah,
so,
I love that you're getting to come and visit and spend some time. And the kids getting to come and spend some time. So y'all continue to pray for the Skipper family.
That's right.
As they are in this transitional season, which they know will have an end.
Right.
But you still live through it as you're walking through that season.
Out of suitcases.
Out of suitcases. Yeah. So y'all continue to pray for them. But I'm so thankful that you were able to come and specifically do this Easter series with me. So we are in the middle of our Easter series, getting close to winding it down, but really being purposeful to prepare our hearts and minds and souls for Easter. And so as we're going through this 5-week devotional that we've been spending time on, if you haven't caught some in this Easter series, go back and watch those. We'd love for you to keep up with that. We do have the devotional handouts that are available here at church. Whenever you're on campus, you can pick those up and follow along with us. This Easter series has been really fun to get to look at and get to think through. And I'm so excited, because when I was going through this and putting it together, and one of the topics was Jesus made time for fellowship, so should we, you immediately came to my mind. And some people might be like, why? You have such a heart for hospitality.
Right. You know, I've seen over the years, my husband's been a pastor, you know, or a minister since we met.
Yeah.
And we would go into our new neighborhoods, our new areas. And of course, what do we do first? We invite people to church.
Yeah.
You know, my husband's pastor in this church. Come to church with us.
Right.
And that's our desire, is to get them in a place where they can hear God's word, you know? So we kept inviting people, even the neighborhood in Georgia where we live now, and they wouldn't come. And we're like, why will they not come? You know, we feel like we're nice people,
right,
normal people, and they're not, you know, coming because of our invitation. And then we had a shift, and we started inviting people to our home first and just let them get to know us. And a lot of times we would do a backyard party for the neighborhood. So they didn't even feel intimidated to come inside the house.
Right.
We're just in the backyard hanging out. And it was those conversations and those relationships where we started actually being able to talk about Jesus with them, praying with our neighbors. We have neighbors that will show up on the front porch, you know, and say, will you pray with me? And that's the way that we started reaching the people that were closest to us. Then they would start coming to church, you know, visiting, even if it wasn't our church.
Yeah.
You know, go to
somewhere
and be with a body of believers.
Yeah.
So that's when our mind definitely shifted.
I love that.
When we said, all right, these people aren't just going to come to a church.
Right.
They want to know who's going to be at that church and what are these people like.
What's happening?
And then I started thinking, we had a neighbor right next door, a lady, and she had never grown up in church, didn't know anything about church. And I finally convinced her, spent some time with her, to come to church with me. And she had no context for church.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up a minister's kid. I know is church.
Right. So I think we forget that on any given Sunday, somebody's walking in that doesn't know, why are we singing? Why do we stand up? Why do we sit down? What are we talking about? And we forget that those people are in the room.
Yes. And I heard from her, and she was perfectly blunt and honest, which I love.
Yeah.
She was like, this is weird. This is so strange that y'all all say, like you said, y'all stand up at the same time.
Right.
You know what to sing. You have these books that you open and everybody turns to the same page.
Right.
And they don't even say a page number.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Like, the only context you have for that is school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't even use books anymore. But used to, yeah. you would have a book yeah. and they would turn to this a page number.
Right.
We don't even do that.
Mm-mm.
And so she was like, this is so weird. This is yeah. really strange. And that opened my eyes mm-hmm. really for the first time of what it looks like for a lost person to come into a church
yeah.
and how intimidating that is. You've got people that just do church.
That's 100%.
They know where to sit.
Yep.
You know, other places you have to have a ticket and a seat number. You know, this is,
right.
this is really
yes.
different. And like you said, there's no other group in the community that gets together and sings.
Right.
You know, we don't go
to
a PTO meeting with
right.
our kids and sing a song.
Yes.
And maybe the national anthem, maybe.
Yeah.
But so that's a strange scenario for mm-hmm. people. You know, why are they doing this?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a concert, but they're singing
right.
along. I don't understand. So I think as believers, we have to think like these people that have never walked in the mm-hmm. door. And you have to, even in ministry, evaluate our church in that way.
Yes.
And think, okay, what if this was the first time I ever stepped on this campus? What does this look like for me?
Mm-hmm.
And hospitality is not just in our homes. It's in our churches, too.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's in our community groups
mm-hmm.
or connect groups.
Yep.
It's in youth ministry, children's ministry.
Yep.
We have to have that mindset of how can we welcome people in
Absolutely.
To our church home
mm-hmm.
as well
mm-hmm.
as our homes.
Yeah.
Because they'll come to your home before they'll come
right.
to your church.
And that's one thing I love. If, you know, looking at Jesus leading up to the cross, he sat down with his mm-hmm. his people and said, let's have a meal together.
Right.
I want to share a meal with you. I want to talk with you. I want to spend time with you. And he set that aside.
Right.
And I think, you know, looking at if Jesus did that, we need to do that. How do we look at our own lives and go, where do
right.
I fit that in? What
yeah.
does it look like?
Food is a great connector, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And as I've talked to ladies over the past few years about hospitality, they always say, my house isn't big enough. My house isn't clean enough. Hang on.
Yeah,
Sorry.
You're fine.
They say, my house isn't big enough. My house isn't clean enough.
Yeah.
I don't know what to cook. I don't know
right.
what. You know, people don't care, honestly.
Right.
When's the last time you went to somebody's house and you looked at their baseboards?
Yes.
We don't. We don't do that.
My kids say that all the time. Like, if people are coming around, I'm like, okay, go make up your beds. They're like, who is going in my room
yeah.
and seeing if my
yeah.
bed's made?
If anything,
it's a weird thing. Yeah,
yeah, they want to know that your house feels like my
yes.
house.
Yes.
And it's comfortable.
Right.
And maybe I dropped a sock on the floor and, oh, good, she's just a normal person.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, 100%.
So,
and I know I'm all about, because I'll do that. I'll be like, what do I cook and what do I make and what if it's not good? Listen, as long as I'm not in charge of cooking the meal,
yeah.
you make whatever you want and I'm going to be thrilled that I didn't have to think about it.
Right.
And
right.
so having to switch that to go, people are coming.
They don't care.
They just want, and it, y'all, it really is, it's the time and the fellowship.
Right.
The other stuff is just kind of the thing that gets you there, but really
yeah.
people are doing, I just want somebody to talk to me.
Yeah.
Somebody to know me a little bit more.
Yeah. And y'all got HEB, you know, just go pick up a.
Listen. I've heard Levi likes his HEB.
He does.
Which is so funny. But I mean, yeah, y'all don't have them in Georgia. We forget.
Right, right. Yeah. We do have Publix, though.
Yeah.
That's fancy.
Is that fancy?
Yeah,
okay.
It's fancy.
Okay, there
it's
you
good.
Go.
So anyway, back to hospitality.
But yes.
We can go off on the food thing.
It is that kind of thing that we do. We make it harder.
Right.
Think than it should
right.
be.
So, as speaking of Easter and getting friends together,
yes.
one thing that we have done for the past, I don't know how many years, we have pastored in a city where we don't have family.
Okay.
And you have to be in your church on Easter,
yes.
obviously. And so I wanted Easter to be a family time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a time that we go worship together and a time that we
right.
have people around,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you know, and we didn't have related you know, people
right.
and close to us. So we just decided to start looking around and saying, who is in our church, in our area that doesn't have family
mm-hmm.
as well? And we'll just invite all of them.
Yeah.
And so it has been the funniest thing to look back at the pictures and things
That's
of
cool.
the people that one time I met a girl, she was right out of college. I met her in the gym and I'd seen her in there a few times and we got to talk in and I said, what are you doing for Easter? It's coming up. She said, oh, nothing. You know, I knew she was in town by herself.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I think my brother's going to come in town. And I said, well, I know you don't know us, but do you want to come have lunch with us on Easter after
yeah.
church? Come to church with us. Come to worship. And she was like, sure.
That's awesome.
So she comes, this random brother that nobody's ever met. They're there. We have some sweet friends that were students from Uganda. They've been at our table many times. Other ministers on staff that are in the same situation, don't have family, you know, close by, but they serve all day long on Easter. They would come, but we would look around our table and get so tickled. And we were like, how did all these people end up one table? But the fellowship and the connections that people would make over those meals, I wouldn't trade that for anything.
No, that's amazing. So. And I sitting here thinking about that, I'm like, I love that. And I think at the same time, you know, like for myself, all of my family lives here. So Easter is kind of a given of we're at my mom's house. We're all together, you know. And so then you stop and go, okay, so I'm doing that, which is fellowship, which is important, all that kind of stuff. But then I'm like, but I guess I don't have the opportunity to do what you were just talking about. And it's like, y'all, there's other weekends in the year, right? Yeah. There's Saturday. There's the Sunday before. There, it's that looking and being purposeful to go.
Or what if your whole family decided, let's invite one couple or college student or somebody that doesn't have anybody on Easter. You know, those holidays, everybody's heightened because they feel like, I should be with somebody on this holiday.
So a little just, more apt to say yes to the invite. That's true.
It's a good excuse. You know, it's Easter. Come over. You know, my whole family will be there. And they can just blend right in and not feel like they're the center guest of honor.
You know, that's an interesting thing I hadn't really ever thought about before. But sometimes, especially if you're inviting people for the first time or it's people you don't know well, it's just somebody you met somewhere that you just want to get to know, inviting more than just them. Makes for a little bit more easy.
I think it's better if you and another couple you know, you guys invite one or two other couples. That way you've got somebody there that knows you, that is going to help with the conversation if it were to get awkward. You know, and then it makes the new people not feel so in the spotlight.
I'm just sitting here, y'all are interrogating me, and I have to carry the conversation.
Why did they ask me here?
What's happening?
Which we've had somebody ask us that before.
Really?
Why did you invite us here?
That's funny. Good for them for being willing to say, hey.
And then we'll, you know, we've invited one couple we've met from some situation and another completely different couple. Just have them on the same day. Just, you know, why not? And they'll say, why did you invite us with them? Like, they're so different. And we're like, why not? You know?
Let's all hang out.
So, and some of those people become friends, which is really fun.
How have you passed that down to your kids?
They're funny because they say, Mom will invite anybody over. But what I've seen, I'll just give you an example. So recently, there were some German exchange students in our area. They started coming to my daughter to get their hair cut. And before I ever met him and was able to invite him over, she invited those guys to church. And so I see that in her, you know, and after church, do you want to go grab some lunch after church? And so I see them starting to do those things and their eyes are open to people that may, A, may not know Jesus and B, don't have a community or people around them. And I love that she gravitated toward that and was like, you don't have people here. Come with me, you know, and
so
then
great.
Of course they end up coming to our home for dinner and one spent Christmas with us.
That's cool.
Because he didn't have family here.
So. I love that. And y'all, it's the, I think the really interesting thing is you can do that in the lobby of the church after service. If you don't immediately walk out of church and walk to your car, if you will just slow a little bit and look around and see who else is by themselves or even when you walk into church, go, okay, who's sitting alone? I'm going to go sit by them because they're alone. Even if I'm alone, I'm going to sit by them. Or if there's three of us, hey, we walk in, we look to see who's sitting alone. Okay, we're going to sit over there. Instead of going to sit in our comfortable spot that we always sit in with the people we already know and all that kind of stuff. I get that that's sweet and wonderful. And I love walking into church and going, I get to give four people a hug when I sit down.
But how hard is it to sit by somebody that's sitting by themselves?
Just be willing to
Don't ever think they want to be by themselves. I'm not going to sit by them. I'm sure they want to be by themselves. Don't ever think that. They don't. Nobody wants to. And you don't have to do anything necessarily.
You're not dragging them to lunch, right? But it's even if they are, you introduce yourself, we're super glad you're here. And you can tell, like, they don't really want to talk to me. They're, you know, whatever. But at least they're going to leave going, somebody saw me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they stand up to sing, there's not this awkward empty space beside me, you know?
Yep.
I mean, how would you want to be treated if you
all
by yourself walked into a church?
Yep.
And you sit down and everybody kind of avoids the seats on either side of you.
Yeah.
That's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
I've always threatened to get a laser pointer because that's a huge passion of mine is people not sitting by themselves.
Yes, I hate
And I've always been on the choir, the praise team, and I've always said, I'm going to get a laser pointer and point out, hey, you go sit there and
sit over
by
there.
That person.
Move them.
Yep. Because nobody wants to be like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's so important for us to do.
And great relationships can be formed. We saw a girl sitting by herself, and I could tell she's college, 20s, I don't know. Same thing. I said, she's not going to sit by herself. Kids, let's go. So we went and sat by her and developed this friendship with her. Mm-hmm. She became a mentor in my daughter's life. We still keep up with her.
Right.
I mean, I meet her for lunch, and we're just getting to see her grow in her 20s and, you know, what God's doing in her life. And I think, what if we had never sat by her and had that initial conversation? We would have missed out on a great relationship with her.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's so interesting because a lot of times I think we think hospitality inside the church is done by the hospitality team or the staff or whatever.
Yeah.
And man, we miss such opportunities for God to use us when we walk into the church and go, Lord, how are you using me today? Not just, Lord, what are you giving me today? How are you using me in this place? How can I be a witness? How can I be your hands and feet inside the church every time I walk in?
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I say this, I feel like I say it a lot. If you have been at Sagemont for years and years and years and years and years, and you can't remember the last time you went and visited a different church, I highly encourage you, take a Sunday and go to a different church where nobody knows you.
Right.
It will remind you what it feels like, and it will reset your thoughts when you walk into Sagemont and go, I don't want anybody, like, I want to be a part of helping people feel welcomed.
And how exciting.
Yeah.
You know, to think, okay, today, God, would you let me minister to somebody at church today?
I love that.
That's an exciting way to show up to church, expecting God to give you somebody.
Yes.
Give me somebody that I can love, that I can be hospitable to.
Right.
And then your eyes are looking differently.
Absolutely.
You know, your eyes are wide open looking for that person or that family.
Absolutely.
That's an exciting way to live.
It's fun. And I will tell you, as we look forward to Easter, Easter is probably the one Sunday of the year that has the most people that aren't normally in a church on Sunday morning, but they're coming Easter Sunday.
Right.
Church body, be ready for that.
We have a choice because I hear a group of people say very sarcastically, oh, you decided to come to church today.
Right.
Or is this your one time a year that you come to church?
Guess who's not coming back the next Sunday if you say that to them?
I mean, preachers say that.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm glad you showed up today for Easter.
No.
Don't do that. I mean, it may have taken somebody a lot.
That's not even a joke. That's,
right. To show up for Easter. And they probably thought, okay, I can go on Easter. There's a lot of people I can hide on Easter. So we have a choice. We can be sarcastic and say, oh, I'm glad they finally showed up. Or we can say, praise God, you came.
Yes.
I'm so thankful you're here.
Yes.
I think it was Stuart yesterday. He said, church is better today because you're here.
And oh, that's a sweet saying.
I said, well, that's so sweet. And he said, I say that to everybody.
I don't know if Stuart's ever said that to me. No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
but that's, I love that.
What a sweet thing to say, super kind.
You know? Yes.
So what a great attitude to have. Church is better because you're here today.
Yes. And y'all listening to this, if anything, write that in your cover of your Bible. And then on Easter Sunday morning, like, talk about that driving in on a Sunday morning. Either you're alone in your car or with your whole family or whatever, but just pray and say, Lord, give me opportunity to say that to somebody today and give me opportunity to say it to somebody that I've never met before.
Right. And if they've been here 20 years, great. You just connected with somebody you didn't
know. Yes, yes. Get to know. I mean, that's one of the crazy things about a huge church.
Yeah.
Every Sunday you can meet somebody you've never met before.
And that's fun too.
It is.
I heard somebody talking to pastors' wives, you know, they were overwhelmed going into a new church. Like, I could be here.
Yes.
And her encouragement was meet one person every week.
Yeah.
One new person every week. And I thought, I can do that.
Yes.
I can meet one new person right. every week and try to remember their name.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't meet 100 people every right. week and remember.
And remember them.
But it kind of, you know, bite the elephant or eat the elephant one bite
right.
at a time.
Yes.
I feel like that's how it is.
Yeah.
And again, what a great way to show up on Sunday and mm-hmm. think, all right, who am I going to meet today?
Yeah.
Who am I going to connect mm-hmm. with? And yeah. remember their name.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. So y'all, make time as you're getting ready, walking into Easter, and really just ask the Lord, who do you have in front of me? Maybe there's already somebody there. You're like, I know exactly who it is and I need to get this thing planned. Or if you're somebody that's going, I want to do that. Who do I do that with? Start asking the Lord to show you people. It could be the grocery store checker outer. He will start putting people in your life. We just have to open our eyes and see it and then act on it.
Yeah.
And so
and then,
ask for that.
You know, you've got the church hospitality and then say, God, all right, I'm willing to do this. I'm nervous. I want to have somebody over. I want to have a family mm-hmm. over. Will you give me somebody?
Yeah.
And I promise you he will.
Yeah.
And if you're too nervous to have them in your home, a lot of people are intimidated, then take them to right. get tacos.
Yes, let's just go meet somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go get coffee.
Right.
Start there.
Yep.
Coffee and dessert.
Yep.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And you'll be shocked at the relationships that
yeah.
will start to form.
Absolutely.
And you'll be like, yeah. I can't believe I've missed out on these
yeah.
people this whole time.
Yeah. And, you know, listen, Houston, Texas we're just on the cusp of our, like, few days of really beautiful weather that we're going to have this spring. We
oh,
always
no.
get a few days of beautiful, I mean, just the best weather ever. Use that to your advantage. Hey, let's go to the park. Let's pick up whatever you want to eat. Let's meet at the park and sit outside and enjoy the weather. If you have kids, they run and play.
Right.
You get to, like, take advantage of the backyard,
yeah.
the driveway, that, you know, use
right.
those things. Because that does take the intimidation factor down, I think, for everybody a little
right.
bit.
Right.
Yeah. It's a little bit more yeah. casual, maybe.
Just think of every family at Sagemont did that. We wouldn't be able to fit people here.
Absolutely.
They'd reach out to people in their homes and their neighborhoods, eventually invite them to church,
mm-hmm.
be welcoming, friendly.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to fit people in here.
Right.
Because I think, and I hate blaming stuff on COVID, but it really did
sure.
give everybody an excuse
absolutely.
To separate.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And even to this day, people use that
yes.
as an excuse.
Absolutely.
COVID, you know.
Yeah.
But it really did separate people.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
that's not a good place. That's not where God wants us
no.
to be. He wants us together,
yeah.
which we
it's
heard in a sermon yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to say, Levi preached on this just about that. If you come to a church after you're there for a year, if you feel like you haven't connected, you're probably not going to stay at the church.
Right.
And so often, y'all, with this part, don't sit back and wait for somebody to do it. Be the one that's proactive.
Right.
Because if everybody sits back and waits for somebody to invite them to dinner, nobody's going anywhere.
Right.
Right? Somebody has to be the one to say, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the thing. So,
yeah.
And y'all, if somebody does invite you, say yes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, of course, y'all, wisdom, boundaries, all the things, right? But a lot of times we will come up with every excuse in the book
right.
to not go. But then we miss out on that.
Right.
And if we will go, listen, I promise, for the most part, if you go one time, even if you don't ever do anything with that person again, it's going to motivate you to do it more because you're going to go, okay, that was fun.
Right.
We forget what it's like to fellowship with people.
Right.
We forget.
Yeah. Yeah. We had lunch with a lady yesterday who's much older, you know, could be a grandmother to my children. And I'm sure our kids have great attitudes and they weren't,
sure.
you know, saying anything negative, but
sure.
I'm sure they were like, okay, what are we doing? They connected with her so quickly
yeah.
and so closely, this woman that they didn't know before
yeah.
yesterday. And I'm sitting there watching my children interact with a lady that has a lot to offer and
mm-hmm.
give. And I thought, how sweet that generations over generations, they're
yeah.
having this connection and now have a relationship, you
right.
know,
mm-hmm.
just because of a lunch that we had together
right.
after church.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. That's so good. So y'all, Jesus made time to fellowship. So should we, like, you obviously passionate about this is important, make time to fellowship. But then of course the next thing in our devotional is just, he devoted himself to prayer.
Right.
And y'all, we could just say that and be
right,
done.
Right. It's true.
He devoted himself to prayer. So should we. And here at Sagemont specifically, since this last August, we have been spending time being very purposeful to point people to prayer, to give everyone opportunities to pray, to encourage everyone to make that a part of just who you are. But I love taking time to really look at how Jesus devoted himself to prayer leading to the cross.
Right.
And going into that weekend, right? Into that Easter weekend. And y'all, you know who was real busy?
Jesus.
Leading into Easter weekend and all. Jesus.
Right.
He always had people that needed right. something, that wanted something, that needed him to go here or go here or do this. Y'all, nobody's busier than Jesus.
Right.
And yet he purposed.
He knew he had to have that time.
Dig into that, because you said it's not because it made him feel better. You said
he knew he
had
it.
To have it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and when I think about his prayer before the cross, mm-hmm. all I can think about is when he said, "Not my will, but yours," you know, and he's talking to his father.
Yep.
And I just think his prayer time was never full of "help me, give me." It wasn't self-focused,
right.
you know, and he was praying for other people. But even in those last minutes, he could have been praying, "God, get me out of this."
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And he did say, "If there's another way, mm-hmm. you know, let's do that."
Yeah. Let's do that one.
But at the same time, he said, "But not what I want, but right. what you want." Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that should be our focus. You know, we can go down our prayer list, which mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
We should talk to God about all those things. Yep. But at the end of the day, are we focused on, "God, not what I want. Mm-hmm. These are my requests. You know, these are the things that are on my heart."
Right.
But ultimately, it's not about what I want. That's it's right. about what you want mm-hmm. and not my will, but yours. So it's a shift, yep. you know, in the focus of our prayer, and "God, give me a heart that's just like yours." Mm-hmm. So that when I do pray for these things, I'm praying in the same way that you pray for these
yeah.
things, or that you desire for these mm-hmm. things.
Yeah.
So we're in a very selfish society,
Absolutely.
Selfish time. The whole self-love, self-care,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
Every ad, commercial, whatever is focused on us
mm-hmm.
and really elevating us and our needs.
Absolutely.
Or what, you know, what yeah. we perceive as needs.
Yeah.
And the whole world is marketing
Absolutely.
That. But this is a great reminder. No, it's not about me.
That's right.
It's, "God, what do you want? And I want to do what you want."
That's right.
In this situation.
And it is that, because I think so often we go to God and we pray and ask for something. And if we don't get the answer we want, then we get upset.
Right.
You know, and that's just every, you know, something I think all of us struggle with. And it's that whole thing of flipping the thought process of, this isn't me going to God and saying, "Hey, I need you to do this and this and this and this."
Right.
This is me sharing my heart, which he knows and he wants right. to hear, just the same way Jesus did. He was like, "Hey, if there's another way."
Right.
So it's okay for us to go to God and say, "Hey, this doesn't feel good."
Right.
But it's ending and walking out with, "But Lord, I trust you."
Right.
"And I want your will way. Over mine."
Yeah, because he knows better.
Yes.
We've been, you know, we're going through a hard season, you know, with our kids and health things.
Yeah.
And my Bible study teacher, she wasn't even talking to me directly. It was one of those she was
right.
teaching, but I felt like she was talking to me directly. And she said, "Do we think we know better?" And I was like, because I was kept saying, why,
yeah.
why would we have to walk through this? Why does my daughter have to do this? You know? And when she said that, I mean, it was directly for me.
Yeah.
Do I think that I know better?
Right.
And when I say,
"God,
not my
will." And all of us would say,
"Will,
of course not." But yeah. when we really boil it down, we're like, wait.
I do.
I'm
think,
sure acting like I think I do.
Right.
Yeah.
So to say, "I want your will and not mine," mm-hmm. is to say, "You know better."
That's right.
And I trust you with that.
Yeah. I heard a podcast the other day, and one of the things they were talking about with prayer, and when we go through hard things and things just happen, is we don't need to look for understanding why it happened. We need to look for the purpose.
Right.
And why it happened or why it's happening, because we'll might never understand
right.
why things happen.
And it doesn't change it.
No. But we can understand, why is this happening? What can I,
right.
the purpose behind it? Is it growing me? Is it, listen, if nothing else, it's stretching me.
Right.
It's molding me. All of those
yeah,
things.
And God will use it.
Yes.
To help you minister to somebody else
right.
that comes behind you in the same situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or he's preparing you to walk through something. There's all those things that you look at. But I think so often we want to understand it.
Right.
Yeah. We're probably not going to understand That's a true. Lot of the things that go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I love Jesus. I mean, all throughout scripture, you look at him getting away, being alone, isolating, seeking solitude with the Lord.
Right.
And I think that is so important for all of us to do. And I also think it's one of those things that we can easily not do, because it takes time. It takes planning. It's not just going to happen. And it's maybe one of those things that if you don't have somebody in your life holding you accountable to it, it's the thing you cannot do.
Right.
And think, oh, that, I didn't have time for that today.
Right.
It's so important, though.
I don't know if it's harder for women. I just feel like for us to sit and have a quality time with the Lord that's quiet, no distractions. I mean, our brains are nonstop, right? So it really is a discipline.
Yes.
So I would say, don't say I have to go sit down for 30 minutes. You know, maybe you start with a minute, and it's a minute without a phone. It's a minute without any other distraction. And then in a couple of days, maybe 2 minutes.
Right.
And you're disciplining yourself, teaching yourself to spend that quality time, that solitude like Jesus did with the Father. So I think we have to, again, let's not give ourselves these unrealistic expectations that we've got to go away for a prayer retreat right off the bat.
Right.
You know, let's start with something small and something. And what's going to happen is we're going to love that time so much that we're going to want more of it.
Right. And you build the muscle. It's the discipline of it, of building the muscle so that you go, okay, this and the deals. I think it looks different for everybody. And so it isn't trying to squeeze yourself into a mold of what you think it's supposed to look like. Really go, okay, Lord, how do you and I do this? What does it look like for me?
Yeah, because then there's the conversations that happen all day long with God.
Yes. Yeah,
when you're constantly talking to him.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want me to do in this situation?
Right.
Or how am I supposed to handle this? What decision should I make?
Yeah.
Those things are happening all day long.
Right.
So it never ends.
Yeah. And I love it because, you know, as moms, if you're in a crowded room with a bunch of people, you know if your kid says mom.
Right.
Right. You know their voice. They also know if you call them, they know it's you.
Right.
And that's because of the time we spent together. And then when we're out just in daily life, we recognize the voice. The same thing is true with the Lord. We learn his voice one on one, spending time with him. Okay, now I know your voice. So then when I'm in the middle of this stuff, I know when it's him.
That's a great illustration.
I know when it's him. And then that's that praying without ceasing and hearing from him and being like, oh, this is what we need to do. I love that. Y'all, grab these devotionals. Spend time with us preparing for Easter. It is coming. And it doesn't matter if you started with us weeks ago or if you're just jumping in. There is time to prepare our hearts for Easter. And then Good Friday service on Good Friday, Easter services on Easter Sunday. Please come and join us. We'd love for you to be a part of just celebrating Easter with us here at Sagemont. We'd love for you to get to do that with us. And then also, if you are somebody that's like, I would love to do hospitality or fellowship with people, I hear y'all, it sounds great. What do I do? Y'all, reach out to me, reach out to Krista. We would love to talk to you about how does that look? What does that look like realistically, really put it into place? And then, of course, y'all, we've been talking about prayer here at Sagemont for a long time. There are so many different ways you can jump in to just deepening your relationship with the Lord through prayer and praying for others and all of that. Go to the website. You can look for the prayer page and it has all of that there for you. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you to pray. We want you to pray for us. Pray for Sagemont, for Easter services, for them to go well, for our church body
people
to do a great job of reaching out, for people to meet Jesus for the first time and us get to celebrate that. So pray for all of those things with us. So, hey, I appreciate you hanging out.
Thanks.
So fun. So fun. Get to always love hanging out with Krista. Listen, if you see her on Sunday morning, wave. Say hey.
Say your name.
That's right. Say, this is my name tag.
Right.
But y'all stop by and say hi to Krista and continue to pray for the Skipper family as they are transitioning. But we'll be here Easter.
Yes.
Which will be great. So we'll get to see them Easter Sunday. So y'all, thanks for hanging out on Table Talk. Go back, check out the ones you haven't seen. We will see you next time.